This segment proudly brought to you by Capital Air. Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, empowering the Ummah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. 4 minutes after 11. It's a beautiful, mashallah, Tuesday morning. And it's time for the bliss of marriage. Every Tuesday is part one between 11 to 12. Well, I don't know where you are, but I definitely know that you are tuning in and you are listening to the bliss of marriage. Many, many listeners are at home. Many listeners are at work and they're listening from work. Some people are listening from their cell phones. Some are listening from their decoders. My name is Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia. With me this morning, my beloved engineer brother Tobella, who's definitely in a good mood. Where are my beloved listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Ismail and company? And of course, my beloved listeners of Merkaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah. Well, Jama'a, well, it's the 24th of November, 2020, corresponding to the 8th of Rabi'ul Akhir, 1442. Well, 0847863132, that is our WhatsApp number, international overseas listeners, plus 27847863132. Let's welcome our beloved senior Ustad early this Tuesday morning, part one of the Bliss of Marriage. Ustad, welcome to the program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa rana jazakallahu khairan.
Ustaz, the listener wants to know that who are mentioned as garments for one another in the Quran? Anonymous, Ustaz.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nuswalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When one studies the noble Quran, Surah 2, Surah Baqarah, and verse number 187, chapter 2, verse 187, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala was discussing about Ramadan and thereafter the fasting of Ramadan and so forth. Thereafter Almighty Allah states, Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun. They, the wives, are the garments for the husband and the husband are the clothing for the wives. So what is the meaning of this? You see, when we wear our clothing, so what happens? We have a scar, we have a mark, all that on our body. So the clothing covers all that. So husband, wife, remember, should be covering one another's faults. Because sometimes it will happen, there will be mistakes and so forth. But that does not mean that we keep on violating the Sharia and then we say, no, we must cover the faults. This is occasionally. Secondly, when a person is dressed and has worn his clothes, it enhances the image of that person. So similarly, that the clothing is nearer to us. So husband, wife must always be near to one another. Not one is living in one country or one town and the husband or the wife is living in another city, another town, another country. So all that will be undesirable. Third one, remember that how the clothing brings comfort to one another. When it is summer, we wear summer clothing, winter, winter clothing. Similarly, that husband, wife should bring comfort and zen to bring that end, that sanirus. Serenity and that comfort to one another, peace to one another. So that is what is implied and meant in this verse.
So the brother says, dear Ustad, it says, Salam, dear brother, I am married and I came to know my wife had committed zina with two other men before marriage. I am feeling devastated. What should I do? Anonymous brother Ustad.
Remember that if you need to ask yourself, when you married your wife, were you really a virgin? Or were you also involved in some activities of this nature, yeah, fornication and so forth? So if you committed fornication, your wife committed fornication, then Almighty Allah teaches us Surah 24, Surah Nur, verse 26. What does Almighty Allah say? الخبيثات للخبيثين والخبيثون للخبيثات. The impure man for the impure woman, the impure woman for the impure man. So that is what happened. If that is what you were also doing, if you were really 100% pure and chaste when you got married and your wife admitted, Allah alone knows if she admitted or how it happened. But let's we answer the questions as the questions are posed to us. So remember, in a case like this, we will say that you have 2-3 options. Option number one will be that you forgive her because now you have children and so forth and so on. Option number two will be that you give her a talaq and a divorce because remember she had an affair and what have you, committed fornication. For that, remember, there's 100 lashes for fornication, and adultery is the death penalty. Fornication, Almighty Allah states in Surah 24, Surah Nur, verse 2. Therefore, our mother Siddiqa Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha used to say, Allimu nisa'akum surat al-nur. Teach your females Surah Nur, because there are so many issues related to them. When that male female committed fornication, that is, they're not married, zina, and what should you do? Fajlidu kulla wahidin minhuma mi'ata jalda. Then you lash both of them in public 100 lashes. So then, don't show any compassion. Wala ta'khudhkum bima ra'fa. So imagine, because Almighty Allah wants, this must be a deterrent to the society and community. So the first option will be to forgive. Second one will be that you divorce her, give her one talaq, a buy-in, and so forth. Third one will be that you both go for temporary separation because this came as a real shock to you. You don't want to take a knee-jerk reaction because there is a child or children involved. So you must decide now which option you want to exercise. My advice to you will be, at this juncture, at this point, read 2 rakat salat, Qul ya al-kafirun in the first rakat after Surah Fatiha, Qul Allah wahad in the second rakat after Surah Fatiha, and thereafter you read Allahumma khirli wakhtarli. Oh Almighty Allah, you select the best for me and you choose for me, the hadith in Tirmidhi. Whatever comes in your heart, in your mind, on that you exercise whichever is the best from these 3 options.
There's a listener wants to know, Ustaz. They say that what did the Prophet mention about getting married? Ustad,
obviously that the Quran Sharif speaks of marriage in various verses, and Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wasallam spoke of marriage. I'll just mention to you one hadith mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Ya ma'ashara shabab, O you group of youngsters. So it shows when we are young, we should be getting married, because that's the time we are bursting with our energy and our desires and our passion and all that is at its peak. And if you're not going to get married, Allah forbid, the chances are then that person will get involved in haram, that he will have boyfriend, girlfriend, or in this day and age, people have Adam and Steve, Adam and Eve also. So all these haram activities, all that person will be masturbating, that also is not permissible in Islam. So therefore, Islam says, Ya ma'ashar al-shabab, man istata'a minkum al-ba'ata falyatazawwaj. You have the physical means, you have the financial means to get married, so get married. So in Islam, marriage is that institution we should not procrastinate and delay. We should try and get married as soon as possible. What are the benefits of getting married? Fa innahu aghaddu lil-basar. Then your gazes will remain, you will lower your gazes, you won't ogle here and stay here. That is supposed to what happened. وَأَحْسَنُ لِلْفَرْجِ knowledge, you will fortify and protect your private part. So all this in Islam, to get married, remember, is highly recommended, and sometimes it becomes wajib. Wa in the tawqani wajibun. What does it mean? When that person fears he or she is going to go commit zina and fornication and so forth, then remember, you must get married. And if you can't get married because of financial constraints or some other reason, then fa illam tastati fa alayka bisawm, then you must fast. Fa inna sawma lahu wija, because fasting will crush your desires. So every answer you will find in the Quran Sharif or in the Sunnah Mubarakah, the teaching, preaching of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the messenger of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
Listener says, Mufti Sahab, my husband don't respect me. He shouts at me. He screams at me in front of our kids. He tell me to get out of his face when his foot is paining. He take the anger out on me. Please tell me what to do, because this is happening every day. Jazakallah, Mufti. Ustad.
Remember that the husbands must realize that you can't be venting your anger on your wife when she has nothing to do with it. For example, you are in your shop, you are in your job, and so forth, and now you had a bad day there because your clients give you a hard time, or for example, your boss gave you a difficult time or difficult task, or for example, you had some problems with your colleagues. Now you vent your anger on your wife, on your children. All that is haram. That is totally unacceptable. Similarly, you have body pains, you have this illness, sickness, and now you keep on swearing, abusing your wife. Quran Kareem states, Surah 4, Surah Nisa, Chapter 4, Verse 19, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Treat your wives with love, with respect and justice. How you want your son-in-law to treat your daughter, so you must remember, you must treat your wife even better than that. Look at the Uswai Hasana, the best role model and example for us, and that is the messenger Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Khayrukum khayrukum li ahlikum wa ana khayrukum li ahli. The best of you are the best of you to your wives and your children, and I, Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, am the best of you for my wives and my children. And the hadith is authentic in Tirmidhi, and on the authority of Siddiqa, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, she reported, narrated this hadith. So in a case like that, my brother, you must ask your wife for forgiveness. You should give her some money or some present. You should be the one to make things happen. Not that, you understand, keep on swearing. Look at the sacrifice that she made. She left her parents, she left her siblings, she left the place of her birth. All that to spend the remainder of her life with you. Is that not a big sacrifice she made? And then when she comes, then you start swearing, which is no fault of hers. If she did something, remember where she's at fault. For example, you must remember that she took your money or something and, you know, wasted it. So there at least you can still be justified that you reprimand her, rebuke her. But remember that what happens here is she's nothing. She has nothing to do with it. But now you want to vent your anger, and then all this will make it worse in front of the children. So how will the children show respect to their father, to their mother? So you're destroying your whole family, my brother. Remember, you have a micro and you have a macro. The micro is the family, husband, wife, parents, children, grandchildren. And the macro is the ummah. So if you're destroying the micro, so how will the macro come into being? So we all want to speak about unity, but we are the ones destroying the unity within our home. So think of the damage you are causing psychologically also to your children. You know, I taught for so many years with Allah's help, and still we're teaching. I could exactly tell you when students come and sit in the class that this student came from a good family, this came from a broken family, this person came and he's got a turbulent relationship with his parents. Because you must remember, you can see the upbringing of the children in the homes and so forth. So therefore, you are destroying yourself, destroying your wife, destroying your children, their self-confidence. So brother, you need to ask forgiveness to your wife, and remember, give her money, buy her a nice present, read Ya Wadud, Ya Wadud. If you are so ill and sickly, your feet is paining, your toe is paining, your body is aching, so read Surah Fatiha 7 times and blow on yourself. Read Ya La Ilaha Illa Anta Subhanak Inni Kuntu Min Al-Zalimin. Read Ya Salamu Ya Salam. If you know this verse here, this is the best verse to read for all those people who are ill and sick. Surah 21, chapter 21 and verse 83, the dua and supplication of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, Anni Massani Yadurru Wa Anta Arhamur Rahimin. Oh Allah, that the calamity that has befallen me, so Ya Allah, you are the most merciful one to show mercy. So read Surah 21, verse 83, and Allah Jalla Wala will grant you shifa and give out charity also.
Let's go to Johannesburg, Ustad. Does my illegitimate son inherit from his late dad, Ustad?
Remember that from when there is a boy and a girl, they eloped and had an affair, and then a baby boy was born. So the lineage of that boy or that girl, whatever it is, they just use the word illegitimate child. So whether it's a boy or a girl, so that illegitimate child's lineage will go to the mother. Mother passes away, child inherits. Child passes away, mother inherits. Father passes away, child does not inherit. Child passes away, the father doesn't inherit. So he's got nothing to do with the father. So yes, if this person here, in his will he wrote, because he knows it is his son. So if he wrote there that he must get 10,000, 50,000, 100,000, and then that is not more, it does not exceed more than 1/3 of the net estate, then that will be permissible. So the illegitimate child will not inherit from that father there, inverted commas. But if the father wants, he could have bequeathed and made wasiya for him. So you must see in the world if it's written there. So it will not be inheritance, but it is what he had bequeathed for him.
Somebody anonymous says, Mufti Saab, I am pregnant and my husband left me and said he won't return. He did not give me a divorce. What does this mean, Ustad? Can I marry again or not?
No, you can't marry. You must remember you are still married to him. So I don't know what the circumstances are. You said that he said, may two business this. So you said that he will not be returning. So the way I understand it, maybe you married a foreigner. So he's gone to India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Egypt, Morocco, Somalia, or Sudan, or wherever. So if that is the case, then you must go to your local ulama, your jamiats, and go and apply for a fasakh and give all the details of your husband to them, and they can try and contact him, and if there is no response, then they will investigate, and after that they will allow the fasakh to go through, the marriage will be annulled. Then after that, remember your iddat, and this happens whilst you are pregnant, then the delivery of the baby when you give birth, that will signal, and the sign will be that your iddat is finished. Surah 65 verse 4, وَأُولَاتُ الْأَحْمَالِ أَجَلُهُنَّ أَيَّضَعْنَ حَمْلَهُنَّ. When you give birth, then your iddat is finished. So the sequence of events will be this, that go to your local ulama or jamiat or whoever you have confidence in, and tell them this is, don't tell them all petty things, the most important things, and say you are applying for fasakh, annulment of marriage. They will then try and contact that person. Once they are successful, and he will tell them he's not interested and so forth, so they will tell him he must divorce you. He refuses, so then they will annul the marriage. Thereafter, you go into iddat. You're still pregnant and you gave birth, then your iddat is finished. After that, then you can marry whoever you want to. So that is the sequence of events that will follow then. And remember, what about the child? So you must try and get something out of him, because he is the father of the baby. So we don't know where he is, whether it is South Africa, or he left South Africa and he's gone to Malawi and to join Bushiri or whatever. We don't know. So you must remember that Allah knows what are the facts.
Ustad, this question, of course, it's not regarding the bliss of marriage. It says, Mufti Saab, I really need your help. I heard selling fireworks is haram. If one sells it for New Year and not for Diwali, is fireworks not like selling cigarettes, Ustad?
So remember, since when is selling cigarettes permissible? To sell cigarettes is not permissible. To smoke cigarettes is not permissible. To buy cigarettes is not permissible. To sell it is not permissible. Fireworks is the same. Your analogy is correct. So you must remember, fireworks also is not permissible. So that is consistency, that cigarettes not permissible. Fireworks not permissible. So you must remember, the Quran teaches, as I just give you Quranic verses, you can go and refer to it, Surah 5. And whether you're selling it for Diwali, you're selling it for Christmas, you're selling it for New Year, you're selling it for Guy Fawkes, you're selling it for whatever, is not permissible. So you must remember the Dalail, evidence and proof for all this. Surah 5, verse number 2. وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. You must not cooperate in sin and transgression. And this is definitely a sin and transgression. So you become an accomplice in that crime. So you must remember, you are complicit in that crime. So that's one. Two, remember that people will buy from you, you will sell to them. Quran Kareem states, people who squander their wealth, so they become the brothers of Shaitan. So the brothers, sisters of Shaitan, chapter 17 and verse 27, innal mubadhirina kanu ikhwana shayatin. Just look at fireworks. I'll give you one incident as well. So you must remember that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's authentic hadith mentioned in what Imam Malik has mentioned it. La dwarara wa la dirar. Don't cause harm to yourself and don't cause harm to others. Imagine these fireworks, how much harm they cause to the animals. You see the animals running wild. How much harm they cause to people. 10 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night, they busy, bang, boom, and what then? So since when to cause harm to people is permissible? Third one, remember that you're causing harm to the environment. You take India, you spoke of Diwali. So you must remember, India, in certain major cities, Delhi and here and there, they said no fireworks allowed. This Diwali did pass. Because one, the coronavirus, one this reason, that reason. So remember that we must contribute to the upliftment of the society, not to the detrimental of the society. And that is what fireworks is doing. When I was in Newcastle, you must remember, well, alhamdulillah, from January 81 to 2001, January, exactly 20 years, I was there with Allah's help, wonderful. So, alhamdulillah, there was one youngster, I know his name, everything, but I won't take his name and mention it. So, you must remember, there was something going on. Youngsters, you know, they like to play and so forth. So, he bought all these firecrackers and what have you, fireworks, and then he wanted, so he's wondering why this one is not exploding, why is not going. So he went to go see, and it exploded in his face. Till today, his face, you want, plastic surgery, everything. You will make out that something happened. So see, harm to yourself also. So therefore, you must remember in Islam that is what we must remember. Islam does not allow things that we harm ourselves, we harm others, we harm the creation, we waste money. So it is not one crime, brother. It is multiple crimes. And we should not look for all backdoor fatwas and loopholes and so forth and say, no, does, I got good intention. All that is shaitan, yet remember, that is not permissible.
Mrs. Agron's daughter says, what does God, the Exalted, mentions about the reason for creating partners, spouses for one another? Mrs. Adrian's daughter, Ustad.
Yes, my sister, you're going to get married, I don't know when, in 2020 or 2021. So we will say you must expedite matters and do not delay. Almighty Allah has made so many signs, million, billion, trillion, zillion signs. That's a different thing, we human beings, with our puny little brains and our pride, pride and arrogance, we don't want to accept the truth. You see, you are in Durban. When you go to the beach and you know people walk there barefoot, you know barefoot. So what will happen? That you look at the footprint. You will know this is a male, this is a female, this is a child. So you must remember that tells you a human being was here. So the signs are there. So similarly, Almighty Allah gave us the signs, the sun, the moon, the stars, the summer, the winter, all that, the sunrise, the sunset with precision. So sister, what you must do is look and refer to chapter 30, Surah Rum, the Romans. So chapter 30 and verse number 21. Wa min ayatihi, and from his signs and symbols, the symbols of the divine being of Almighty Allah, God, capital G, the one and only. Ana khalaqa lakum min anfusikum azwaja, that he created from your type, your species, your spouses. So remember, imagine hypothetically, for argument's sake, if Allah told us we must get married to an animal. So imagine. But yeah, Allah told us, no, I created for you Adam and Eve. For Eve, Adam, male, female, he, she. So that is what we must do. What is the first purpose? When you get married, litaskunu ilayha. You get sukoon, you get peace, tranquility, serenity. Every normal human being, male and female, remember we have two desires, shahwatul batn and shahwatul farj. Shahwatul batn, we like the nice food. So now when you get married, the wife prepares the breakfast, lunch, supper, or whatever people, whatever their routine is. So now the husband is eating the nice food and so forth. So now he's getting sukoon and peace and tranquility. Shahwatul Farj, remember you want to fulfill your lust, your passion, your desires. So Allah made it such, you fulfill the conjugal rights. So that is what brings sukoon and peace, tranquility to you. Similarly, you, that now you get married after 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, so you also increasing because you conceived, you are pregnant. Husband also is getting fatter, so you must remember and bigger. That's a sign of happiness from his side. So you both have sukoon. Sukoon means peace and tranquility. Thereafter, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةٌ. Now you are trying to fulfill his rights, and according to Islam, within the framework of Islam, so Allah will then bring the love, wa rahma, Allah will let the mercy descend. So the Islamic system, my sister, is first you get married, then remember the love will come, the mercy will come, and you will enjoy the sukoon, the peace, the tranquility. The non-Muslim system is, no, first you must date, you must court, you must smooch, you fall in love, then you get married, maybe you have a baby already, or you pregnant already, and thereafter they get married, and after 1-2 years, then is divorce. So that is the satanic system, remember that. So the Islamic system is, you marry, you're marrying a stranger totally. So then, when you want to do that, you want to remain pure and chaste, then Allah's mercy comes, and you read, and you should be reading as well. Ya Wadud, Ya Wadud, Ya Wadud. I know you're not Muslim, but I want to show you the method and the manner of a happy marriage. And remember, this message of ours is universal for the entire human race, and Muslim and non-Muslim. So you try it. Ya Allah, O Creator, you are the one who creates the love. So you must say, let there be true love between yourself and your husband to be, and in that way there, I always told you, in marriage is not that the bodies only must meet, the hearts have to meet. Once the hearts meet, there's unity of thought. Once there's unity of thought, then both of you go in the same direction. So that is what you must do. And you want the reference? Chapter 30, Surah Rum, and verse 21. Chapter 30, verse 21.
Mrs. Edra's daughter says, most probably 2021, and she says she will send her the message the day she will be getting married to Ustad.
Very good. With Mona Arafat will announce it.
Inshallah, Ustad, inshallah. Ustad, I'm a rivet. Who should be my witnesses from my side, as I have no Muslim family? Anonymous Ustad.
So you must remember that if you are the lady and you embrace Islam and all your family are non-Muslim, so none of them can be your representative. Then none of them will be your wali. Wali will be your guardian. None of them can be the witnesses. So you must remember, in a case like that, you will tell that imam, the person who is solemnizing, performing your nikah, your marriage ceremony, he will act as your wali, al-imamu waliyum Allah waliyalahu. And you tell the boy whom you are marrying that he must bring two male witnesses from his side. So that is how you will solve the problem. But you cannot appoint anyone, Tom, Dick and Harry, or Tom, Dick and Mary, any non-Muslim to be the witnesses for the nikah, or to be the wali and the guardian for the nikah. So that definitely would not be valid.
One more question, Ustad. Anonymous says, my husband is a compulsive liar, Mufti Sab, and a cheat. He has put me through so much. It says here, now he is so sick and very critical, Mufti Sab. As a dutiful wife, I am doing his khidmat, but my heart is so cold. I don't feel anything, Mufti Sab. I am not even heart so. How do I get rid of my heart of this, Ustad?
You must remember, if what you are saying is true, that will be the natural response and reaction, because he betrayed you, he caused you so much harm and so forth. So you can't just forget everything and throw it out of your life, but it might be his last days, his last moments. So this is what you should be doing and reading, chapter 59, verse 10. So you must read that, وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلَّا. Ya Allah, do not put that malice, rancor, hatred in our hearts. لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَؤُوفُ رَحِيمٌ. For people who have iman, and Ya Allah, you are the one who's very, very compassionate, very merciful. Chapter 59, verse number 10, and it is in the 28th Juz, 28th Supara. So just by the first quarter. So read that, and read Ya Wadudu, Ya Wadud. Inshallah, Allah will make easy, and he is your husband. You went through with him in thick and thin. So give out charity as well. That is the hadith of Mustafa Rahmatulil Alameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, mentioned in the Marasil of Imam Abu Dawood. Wadawu mardakum bisadaqa. For those who are ill and sick, you must give out one type of dawa and medication. So what is that medication? It is charity. So whether it's 1 rand, 2 rand, 5 rand, whether it is a packet of biscuits or a tin of fish, or whatever, you, anything that is halal and tayyibah and good, loaf of bread, so all that will be fine.
We're going to go, inshallah, for an ad break. When we come back, inshallah, we will continue with the bliss of marriage. Stay tuned.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, empowering the Ummah.
22 minutes to 12, there's a listener says, Ya Ustad, that is there any single commentary of the Quran that is considered to be the best Shia tafsir? Anonymous Ustad, please, I'm recording you, Ustad.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Before I respond to that question, I just got three announcements to make. Last night we heard at a very sad the tragic news that our Maulana Farhad Dokrat, he's our graduate, he's our student and graduate from Darul Newcastle, his father Haji Ahmed Dokrat passed away. We should make dua for Haji Ahmed Dokrat and all the marhumin there who passed away with Iman and Islam. Allah Jalla Wala grant all of them Jannatul Firdaus. Then number two is, you must remember that the person should also know, all of you, the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and the listeners of Sirius FM, that those who want to join the group, we're starting the groups again. So if you say, we'll put your name in the group, and whatever we send out, you will get. So just send a message, 071-888-1184. And in that way, they, inshallah, that you just write group and we'll enter. Put your name also. And you must send a WhatsApp. Don't send an SMS. So a WhatsApp with your name and your number will be there. So that's fine. And then we can include you in the group. And third one, inshallah, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we'll be in Cape Town. And anybody wants the program, just say Cape Town program. We will send it to you. If you look at the Shias, first point, Shias are kuffar, 100% kuffar. That's first point. Second point, if you want, you must remember their old tafsir. There was a scholar, they call him Allama Tabatabai, and he wrote Tafsir and Mizan. So that was very, very famous amongst them. So nowadays, so many of the ulama, they wrote Tafsir and so forth and so on. You know, when I was in Newcastle, this is all from Allah Ta'ala's side. So I told our principal, Muqasim Sema Rahimahullah, and yesterday, remember, it was 78 years had passed that to the incident what happened to Muqasim Sema on the 23rd of November, and it was 1942. He was born in 1920, and in 1935 he went from South Africa to go study in Dabel. In 42, remember, he graduated. He was coming back. It was wartime. So the Second World War, and the Japanese, they torpedoed the ship. There were approximately 1,000 passengers. Only 120, 125 survived. He was one of them, Qasim Sema, rahimahullah. So that happened yesterday, 78 years ago, 23rd of November. So it was 1942. So I have to tell Maulana, you know what? We must write to these people, you know, and we can get books. But Maulana, I said, gee, then I did it on my own. So I, to the Shias in Iran, I used to write in Arabic to them, and I used to write Abdul Qadir Husseini. So they were 100% sure that this is a Shia. So they, from those days, I'm speaking of the 80s, 90s, they used to send me books and all this type of thing. I got all of them still online. Maybe some I gave away, but 90% I still have. So you must remember, they sent me one Tafsir, which I have till today, Tafsir Mubin. And in that Tafsir Mubin, I just show you one thing of the Shias, why they kuffar. We can give 100 reasons. I give you one reason from the Quran. You must say, they say that you can make mut'ah and prostitution, right? And they use Quranic verses and all that. And then they say you can sodomize your wife also. So remember, they like backdoor business, the Shias. You must remember that. And if you want to see that, go open any Shia Tafsir and Surah 2, Chapter 2, Verse 2, 2, 3. Everything upside down the Shias do. You must remember that. Quran will say you must wash your feet. They say no, make masah on the feet. Not masah al-khufain. They reject that. Quran will say you must remember, you must get married. They say no, make muta, make prostitution. Quran will say you must love sahaba. They will say no, you must curse sahaba. See, I just give you examples. So all 100% kuffar the Shia. There's no question about that.
Somebody wants to know, Ustad, that I have been lending money from everybody to pay for my nikah, Mufti Saab. Is my nikah valid, or will it be only once all the debts are paid, Ustad?
You must remember that you have become a shaitan already. For what you want to go and take loan from here? You want to have a grand nikah just to show off in front of people? So Quran hadith says you must have simple nikah. And see the two hadiths I'm going to quote for you. Man samma asamma Allahu bi. You want to show off with your nikah and so forth. So you must remember that Allah will disgrace you. And his authentic hadith open Mishkat Sharif Mustad Ahmad. And inna a'zama nikahi baraka aysaruhu ma'una. The best nikah as far as baraka blessing goes is the one where the least expenditure. Stop in your tracks now. Go give back everybody's money. Tell your wife, tell your wife to be, husband to be. We're having simple marriage. You know, when I got married, so my uncle, Allah Ta'ala, Uncle Suleiman, there in Ispingo Beach. So we went, he took me in a van. He said, come, I take over Mercedes. I said, leave the Mercedes, the van. He said, just take me in the van, finish. So we went in a van, you understand, for my nikah. Then you must remember my uncles and aunts, all, you know, tip-top people, millionaires and all, very rich. So my father-in-law was a Buzruk person. He said, no table and chairs, nothing and all the men straight on the floor, you must eat. the way they were struggling, because it was not something common that time. Mm. I still remember with their three-piece suit and all that. They say, Asatavaka Varivyasi, that my back is paining and my feet are paining and toes are paining and all this. So when you have something to please Allah, you do something to please Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah will give barakah. But you want to show off, you want to come with the Ferrari, you want to come with the balloons, you want to come with the ribbons, you want to have smart ring, but all just to show off, is not your money. And now you're going to pay the debts and what and what. So your nikah is valid, but you became shaitan in the process.
Mm. What I want to know is the consent of the bride necessary for marriage in Islam, Ustad.
100%, you must remember, she has to give consent and her father also has to give consent, because sometimes the lady, see America, till today, they say 240 years of democracy, but till today, they never chose a woman president. You know, in 2016, the world thought it will happen, but the Americans said no. And now you got the jokers running the scene there. They wanted to pull off the deal of the century in Palestine, but they became the donkey, they became the idiots, you must remember, of the world. So you must remember these type of things here. So this is how Almighty Allah humiliates them and disgraces them. So that is the system of Almighty Allah. So Islam, to safeguard the honor of the lady, so you must remember what they say, what Islam says. Not only must she give consent, but her father must also give consent. And the hadith is mentioned in Tirmidhi and Abu Dawood, La nikaha illa bi waliyin, that there is no nikah that is valid except the guardian, the father, the paternal grandfather, the paternal uncle, or the brother, biological brother. They, one of them must give permission, then only the nikah is valid.
I see the listener says, yeah, Mufti Saab, it is general that ladies from India, they scream when they talk. We as neighbors hear them over our walls. Is this like eavesdroppings, which we never intended for, Mufti Saab Anonymous?
So you can't pass judgment on everybody, you understand, and say that all the people in India do that. So many people do that, but you can't say all. So you must remember, so if they speak loud and you overhear, that is not eavesdropping. Is there a problem why they're speaking so loud and so forth? I'll tell you one thing about these Indians. You understood? And speaking of, we are Indians, but we were born, bred, everything here. Those born, bred in India, normally in life, if you want to say yes, you will put your head up and down like. But in India, when the chap, I went first time, I could just laugh, you know. When the chap wants to say yes, then he makes his head like this sideways. He shakes his head. You understood? The taxi guy, the rickshaw guy, if you know what's a rickshaw, so you must remember, say, by he'll shake his head this way, sideways, like, you understand? So normally if you shake your head sideways, it means no, but in India it means yes. So that is their custom, you must remember that. So that is not eavesdropping, remember.
Ustad, it says here that, dear Mufti Saab, it says, giving birth is the most painful feeling a woman ever gets. Yet men are like babies, Mufti Saab, when they get pricked. Why is it that men were made the rulers over women, when women do all the sufferings? Anonymous from Johannesburg, Ustad.
You must remember that is Almighty Allah's wisdom, that the men are the one who are physically much more stronger. And you must remember the women are much more emotional. See, I give you one easy example. Today you're France, you're America, you're Australia. I'm taking all these places that are, you must remember, they say they are first world countries. And they have, you understand, equality between the genders. Ask them when they have the French Open, they have Wimbledon, they have this tennis tournament. How come from the men they play the best of five? And for the women they play best of three in tennis, you know? So where's the equality there?
Mm.
So it shows that even they have to realize, you must remember, that the man is much more stronger in, you must, and physically compared to the female. And women are very, very emotional generally. So remember, because of her emotions, so she has disqualified. She cannot become the leader of the country, leader of the family, and so forth. Because of her emotions, many a time she'll make the wrong decision. The men, they have much more control over their emotions, and therefore they should make mashura, discuss with the women, discuss with the children whenever the need arises, and thereafter they make the decision. Yes, that is true, that the woman, she goes through the labor pain, and therefore your rank and status is much higher than the husband and the father. When the sahabi came, man ahakku bis man ahakku bisuhbati ya Rasulallah, who should I go more and make khidmat and serve? Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, ummak thumma ummak thumma ummak thumma abak. Three times the master alayhi salam said, your mother, your mother, your mother, and then said, father. Why? Three things you do, no male will do. Number one is you carry that fetus, the unborn baby, for 7 months, 8 months, 9 months. No man does that. Second one, you go through the labor pains. So you know what is the pain. You're a mother. And third one, you breastfeed. So the male don't do this. So therefore, your rank and status is much, much higher. And therefore, your reward also will be much higher. You know, when we go for Hajj, this is one famous statement I make. Then the men, they just look down. I say, you are my sisters, you getting double reward for your Hajj. One is for your Hajj and one is for Jihad. Jihadukunna al-Hajj. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, your Jihad is Hajj, but la qitala fi. There is no fighting, no combat here. Open Mustad Ahmad, you will find. So the women who perform pilgrimage, your reward is Jihad and Hajj. And for the man is only Hajj, there's not Jihad. So imagine how Islam has elevated the rank of the women and so forth. Another advice for you, mothers, sisters, you are in your last stages, 8 months, 9 months, and now next week, next month, you're going to give birth. So write this verse down, make a note, write it in your diary. Surah 21, and that is Surah Anbiya. And today's tafsir we'll be doing from there as well, between 5:05 and 1:05. And that is, you must remember, that verses 30 to 34 from Surah Anbiya. And 130 to 2, verses 277 to 279, inshallah. So that is between 130 and 2. So you write down for you ladies who are expecting, and you in your final, months and final weeks, the last stretch. So read Surah chapter 21, verse 33. We start our lesson there. أَوَلَمْ يَرَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ كَانَتَا رَتْقًا. That the heavens and the earth were stuck together. فَفَتَّقْنَا هُمَا. And we separated it. قُدْرَتْكَ كَرِشْمَا هِي. This is the power of Almighty Allah, that He separates it with total ease. Remember that. So you, the mother and your fetus, the mother and the unborn baby, you are stuck. But you want everything to go easy and smooth. So read that verse abundantly. Chapter 21, verse 33.
Ustaz, let's go to the next question. Sister says that she is a revert. Her name was Ranita Ustad. She is white. And she says she has accepted Islam 2 years ago. And dear Mufti Saab, I want to know that how should one treat and love what his wife according to the Holy Quran? My husband is hitting me. He slaps me. He's making me hate Islam, Ustad. Why did he get married? I'm his second wife. Anonymous, Allahu Akbar Ustad.
Remember, what your husband is doing is totally haram, is totally unlawful and so forth. He's taking advantage of you because he knows that maybe you don't have much support from your family. 2 years ago, you made a major decision in your life. You left your faith, your Judaism, Christianity, whatever ism, and you chose Islam. So that was the right choice. But when you went as the second wife and so forth, then you made a bad choice, because you must remember, you thought that this man here is a good Muslim, but according we answer the questions as they are posed to us. So you must remember that in this case here, that he was not a good Muslim and is not good. So by hitting you, assaulting you, swearing you, So what you must do is you must go and report him to the police and charge him for assault. Let them put him in prison. That's the only language they understand. And second one is, you must remember, apply for fasakh. You go to your local imam, your local ulama, and tell them you want out of this marriage. Islam allows polygamy. 2, 3, 4 wives at one time. Surah 4, chapter 4, verse 3. Masna wa thulatha wa ruba. But Islam says in the same verse, فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا فَوَاحِدًا. When you fear you can't do justice, you must have one wife. So why must you stay in this marriage here? You must remember that when he's treating you so badly, and he should have more common sense, although common sense is no more common, that he should treat you much better in this sense, that he should be more tolerant with you, because you are a revert and you just embrace Islam. So maybe certain things which he just takes for granted with his wife, the first wife, he can't do that because you don't know much about Islam. So that is my advice to you. If what you are saying is true, he's assaulting you, hitting you, and doing these type of things, then best for you is to walk out of that marriage and apply for a talaq, a divorce. If he does not want to, then apply for fasakh, an annulment, but you must report him to the police for assault.
Ustada, the sister says that she's newly in Islam and she did not know that we could apply for a fasakh. And she says that he's very well versed. He says, Allah's curse is on me if I ask for a divorce, Ustad. So she wants to know the answer. How should one treat and love with his wife according to the Quran, Ustad?
You must remember, in Islam, the ideal marriage is this, where the husband and wife both fear Almighty Allah based on love for Almighty Allah and respect for Almighty Allah, where both parties are fulfilling their rights. The husband has to provide roti, kapra, makan, the food, the medication, the clothing, education, everything he has to provide. The wife must be such, she must be loyal to the husband, and she must not allow strange men and that to come there, and she must be the one to look after the husband and her children, if she's children. And both of you should be reading Surah chapter 25, verse 74. Rabbana hab, this is the answer. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata a'yun. That, remember, ya Allah, grant us our spouses, in your case a husband, in his case a wife, and such offspring and children, that the qurrata a'yun, that are the coolness of the eyes. He's fooling you with all that, and he tells you he's well versed, and Allah's curse is on you. Remember that you don't deserve the curses. So the Messenger of Islam, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, when people curse, and that curse is not meant for you, it rebounds on him. So you must remember, every time he curses you, in reality he's cursing himself because of his zulam, oppression, and transgression on you.
Ustad, is a woman allowed to love in another town with her children to pursue her career, Ustad?
It's all shaitaniyat. That you must remember, I told you in the beginning of the program, Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun. Chapter 2, verse 187. Husband, wife, how your clothing is attached to your body. When you come out from the bathroom, it's a cold winter's day. So you go to your wife and you embrace her. You get body heat. Did I say so? Nay. Mustafa rahmatulil alameen sallallahu alayhi sallam, sometime open Mishkat Sharif, open Mustada Ahmad, that would come out, and then yastadafi ubiha. Therefore the heater is called midifa, that is, it gives you heat. So when you embrace your spouse, so you get the body heat. Now you sitting, we in lands, and the wife is sitting in Durban, she's sitting in PE Cape Town, how the heat will come? So you must remember that. So that is shaitaniyat, that. And for what reason? To pursue a career. That type of career is Allah's curse is on you for doing that, for neglecting the rights of your husband, and the parents and the father and children are separated. So all that totally haram in Islam.
So Ustad, my husband took out a bond to pay for our house. Then he has passed on, Ustad. And then the bank has written off the debt. He has put this house in my name, but now this house, Ustad, really belongs to me because it was paid by the bank through insurance from the bond. Ustad,
from the start, the whole transaction Islamically is null and void. Because when your husband went and then he said he will pay 100,000 deposit, that every month he'll pay 10,000, 20,000 for the next 20 years, 30 years, whatever the agreement was. Then the bank said they're going to charge you so much interest. Then the bank said this. Then they told you you must pay for the insurance. In the interim, if you die, then the insurance company will pay them out and so forth. See how many haram things. Interest, haram. Bond, haram. The insurance business, haram. So remember, all that is totally haram and so forth. So he will be the sinner in all that cases. The house will belong to you, that's fine. But you must remember that he is guilty of major, major crimes. So you must make sincere tawbah. You also must make sincere tawbah and ask Allah for forgiveness for your deceased husband, because he committed so many crimes, you must remember. So that is why Islam says you must stay. And today's lesson, you must listen between 1:30 and 2. That's what we're discussing. The harms of interest in the Quran. Surah 2, verses 277 to 279. And you will listen to all what Allah Ta'ala has to say regarding why interest is haram and so forth and so on.
So, Ustaz Tamuri says that, Muftisab, I cook very good food for my husband. And however, I follow step by step. It says here, haram cookbook, but use halal ingredients, Ustad. Is this okay for me? Because my husband loves the taste, Ustad.
So what do you mean by haram cookbook? If they tell you, you must put 1-2 drops of alcohol, they tell you, you must use 1-2 drops, you must remember of dacha, or you must use 1-2 drops of this, or whatever it is. So how can that be tasty and so forth? So you are guilty of giving your husband haram and eating haram yourself, and he's getting fat like a soccer ball or a rugby ball and is enjoying. So there can't be enjoyment in haram. So you, although little while you might think there's enjoyment, you're destroying your inner self, you're destroying your spirit and soul. So remember, that type of nourishment is not a nourishment. Food is for eating. That kulu min at-tayyibati wa'malu salihah. Muslim must eat, consume that which is pure and wholesome. It will motivate, inspire him to do good deeds. When you eat that which is haram, then remember, then you will be doing vices most of the time, and that is what's happening to you. Totally unacceptable. Okay, we finish with the program. 12 o'clock is news. Day after, inshallah, current affairs. 1 o'clock Zohar Azan. Then 1:05 to 1:30, chapter 21, verses 30 to 34, and 1:30 to 2, Surah 2, and that is Surah Baqarah, chapter 2, verses 277 to 279. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Up next is the 12 o'clock news with Haji Yusuf Ali, and we're going to, inshallah, be seeing you tomorrow with the Bliss of Marriage, part 2, with myself and my beloved Fadilatul Honorable Ustaz Hazrat Malana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein.